The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Israel's military has continued carrying out extensive airstrikes against Hezbollah in Lebanon this morning. I'm joined on the line by Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
How close to all-out war are we?
It's getting that way. There have been a lot of developments over the past week, particularly since the Israelis were able to kill and injure so many people loosely associated with Hezbollah over 2 days last week. And that really has upped the ante overall. I think it's caused a lot of concern also in other countries, countries that are normally fairly close allies to Israel. But the Israeli government does seem intent on at least ratcheting up the process substantially. Where that takes us through into all-out war is difficult to say. It's not necessarily so. And much will depend on the extent to which Iran and also sort of Iran proxy militias in countries like Iraq and possibly Syria actually support what is going on in terms of Hezbollah defending itself. Iran does not want a full-scale war with Israel, certainly. And the Israelis may not want one with Iran, but certainly the current government in Jerusalem is intent on increasing the tensions, and it's doing this in a series of ways to which Hezbollah is reacting, and reacting very vigorously, with using hundreds of rockets aimed at Israel, some of which are actually getting through, which will really be of concern to the Israeli defense forces.
Now, the IDF claims that it has effectively dismantled the leadership of Hezbollah. Is that the case? Or, you know, we know about certain leaders, but when one goes, when one is killed, another will be there to replace them.
I think Hezbollah has taken quite a serious setback in two different ways. One is the ability to actually get those pagers and walkie-talkies and use them as a weapon, as Israel has done, and that will be a shock to morale across the movement. The other is the killing of one of the key leaders and possibly some other leaders as well. So those are losses. But the other side of the coin is that Hezbollah is used to this kind of thing and prepared for it. And it has quite a sort of devolved communication strategy, which probably has been dependent on pages and the rest, but there are other means of doing it. So yes, in the short term, Hezbollah has been damaged in its own paramilitary capabilities. In the longer term, well, the way in which they've already responded by large numbers of rockets being used, and these are only the shorter range ones, not the long range ones that they also have, that doesn't indicate a state, a military, paramilitary, which is able to react even under these circumstances.
Now, the question of the long range missiles, which they have, and Haifa was struck by at least one of their rockets, the question of using short-term just to keep the Israelis, if you like, at bay at their border versus the long-range one supplied by Iran, which Iran sees as kind of the last line of defense should Israel decide to try to target its nuclear facilities.
Yes, and in some ways, to be very blunt about it, if Hezbollah was to use any of these weapons and if the Israelis were able to intercept them all, then that would be important for Iran to know in advance. If, on the other hand, some longer-range weapons were able to get through, that would cause considerable concern in Iran. So it's certainly possible that the Iranians will be keeping a very close watch on what Hezbollah is doing in this regard, and I would guess probably reminding the leadership that they would much prefer that long-range weapons were not used at this stage in the war. It's difficult to read how people react to that, but I think that's probably the case.
For ordinary mortals like ourselves, the idea that these people, be they the leaders of Hezbollah or Netanyahu and his cabinet in Israel, just play politics with people's lives, it's kind of shocking. You know, they see this as some sort of a military chess game.
I think they do. That's typical of many sort of political leaders. It's certainly true of Netanyahu, and I would guess it's true also of Hezbollah. But in a sense, I think one has to remember the background to this. Hezbollah arose from the Shia communities in southern Lebanon after the Israelis went for the Palestinians who were in Beirut. And that was in, what was it, I think it was June or July 1982. The Israelis then stayed in much of southern Lebanon. It had been called Operation Peace for Galilee and was designed to prevent Palestinian groups firing rockets at Israel from Lebanon. But the Israelis tried to occupy a large part of southern Lebanon, and they did it for, what was it, certainly 8 years, through until 1990. But in the process, they lost the best part of 500 of their own troops in paramilitary actions. And that was when Hezbollah was founded and grew. And it was actually a direct response to, as they saw it, occupation by the Israelis. So there's a long history on the Hezbollah side. And it has spent many years in trying to hone up its defences. And you saw that in the rather more recent war in 2006, when the Israelis did actually go into southern Lebanon with troops. And they took serious casualties. The elite Golani Brigade had a lot of casualties. And in fact, they withdrew. In fact, there was this extraordinary television footage, I remember it, of the Israeli troops coming back over the border, looking quite shattered. And what I'm saying about that, I know it's sort of going on a bit, is that it is not likely that the Israelis are going to do a major ground invasion into southern Lebanon. If they do, then the risk is it will be a huge miscalculation. Yeah.
Because Hezbollah, in numerical terms of people, they can put on the ground with Kalashnikovs or whatever, greatly outnumber the possibility of the Israelis doing the same.
It is, in a way. I mean, the point is that these are people who know their own territory. There are all sorts of tunnel and bunker systems. After several days of very heavy Israeli bombing, they're still firing back missiles very easily. But you've got to remember that the much weaker paramilitary group of Hamas in Gaza, that's been under intense pressure from Israel for a year. And much of Gaza has been devastated. 41,000 people killed, 95,000 wounded. Yet still, Hamas is active. It's not been defeated. And I think this is the problem that Israel has. It is now saying that they're going to clear all of southern Lebanon of Hezbollah capabilities so their own people can go and live close to the border once again. I don't think that's possible. But in the short term, it sounds very good as far as Netanyahu
is concerned. So is this a distraction by Netanyahu if there is what we might regard as a failure to achieve their objectives in Gaza, which is to eliminate Hamas and to rescue all the hostages and retrieve the bodies of those who are already dead, and that has not happened, that this is a distraction for the people of Israel? Let's go into Lebanon. Let's cause mayhem up there so that maybe the focus is less on Gaza.
I think that is quite possible. What is certainly the case at the moment is that at the very least, Netanyahu really does not want any kind of ceasefire, even temporary, before the next American election, because I think he is pinning a lot currently on the possibility that Trump will get elected early in November. And that basically may make the situation, as far as the United States is concerned, even more well disposed to Israel. So I think that is one of the things that is holding him back. And in that context, it's quite possible that Lebanon, in fact, and the attack on Hezbollah is actually a huge diversion.
Now, the other activities of Israel in closing down the offices of Al Jazeera in the West Bank for a period of 45 days, it's the kind of action that you would expect from repressive regimes, not necessarily from a regime that is allied to Western powers.
Well, yes, but the Western powers are allied to quite a few repressive regimes when you think about it one way or another around the world. And, of course, the Palestinians would argue that Israel is a very repressive regime on the occupied territories. But one has to remember that under, is it the Fourth Geneva Convention? What Israel is actually doing in the West Bank is illegal under international humanitarian law. So, you know, they would argue that this is exactly what Israel is, that it's a repressive state. And as far as their context is concerned, the reality is very many people in and outside of the Middle East would agree with them.
The domestic pressure on Netanyahu on the business of the hostages, is that still intense? I mean, are people still on the streets? Because it does seem, by escalating into Lebanon, that he's more or less saying, to hell with the hostages in Gaza.
Well, you do wonder about that. I mean, you know, Israel has a history of always wanting anybody who's taken hostage back, and they'll go to very long, far lengths to actually get that. And in that context, I think the hostage crisis has reminded Israelis constantly that they are not as secure as they thought. you have to go back. We're almost up to just a week or so to the anniversary of the start of the war on 6th of October last year. And that, one has to remember, was an incredible shock to ordinary Israelis. Israelis had this perception that you have to be incredibly strong to be secure, but it's not turning out that way. And I think as a result of that, we're now seeing a situation in which Israelis, in many cases, just would wish that Gaza would go away. It's very little reporting of it in the mainstream Israeli media. Some of the papers, Haaretz and one or two others, do publish a fair bit. Most Israelis have no real idea of what is happening in Gaza, nor do they want to. It's a terrible thing, and they would just wish it would go away. And that's the impression you get. We're talking to ordinary Israelis and people who have a lot of experience of the country.
Now, an interesting sideshow to all of this, it's a small matter, but our President, Michael D. Higgins, when he was in on a visit to the United Nations, commented about a letter that he had written to the newly elected Iranian President, Masoud Pezeshkian. I'm not sure I'm getting that pronunciation correct. But he said that it was leaked by the Israeli embassy in Dublin. How likely is that?
It's certainly possible. I mean, essentially, I gather that versions of the letter have been on the social media elsewhere in the recent past. And obviously, the president says that this is a standard letter that one president would write to another president if you have diplomatic relations with a particular country. The Israelis have interpreted as support for Iran against Israel. And I think all you can say is that it is not all Israelis. I think this is part of the Israeli government under Netanyahu is incredibly sensitive about anything which looks in any way bad for Israel. And I think this is why they recognize that Ireland is a neutral country, that it's basically tries to plow its own furrow on international affairs, and they don't like it very much. So I think the result is that this is a sensitivity on the particular part of the Israeli side, particularly the government, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and it may well be that this has been leaked as an added dimension at a time when Israel is suffering an awful lot of bad publicity in many parts of the world, including some of its allies. Mm.
Is it not equally likely that the Iranians would publish this letter and make it available to indicate the support that it would like to suggest that Ireland has for Iran itself?
I think that's certainly possible, and you probably get a very similar response from the Irish president. That, you know, this is standard diplomatic procedure. I mean, that I understand is what he's saying. That it is one president, constituted president, does to another president in these circumstances, despite they may have sort of pretty sort of private objections to what the other country does. Apparently, in diplomatic circles, there's a time and place for everything.
Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Paul, thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.